and then over a period of time, they get hard. Now, in modern life, we don't use skins. I suppose the Bedouin and the Arabs still use skins, but in our house, we use cans of Coke, and anyway, the point is, skins become hard, brittle. When you put new wine into an old skin, what happens is new wine tends to ferment and to get bigger and get really want to expand and grow. But what will happen if you put it in an old bottle? It will burst it and it'll all break. You'll lose everything. So Jesus is saying you can't put this new life into old men. It'll kill them. You can't even teach them. You can't even apply it. He said, there's going to be a new thing come. And then he says, if you want to put new wine in something, you put it in new skins. Well, how do you get a new skin? Well, if you were a goat, this is how I'd make you into a new bottle. If you were a goat, you'd be very happy on, you know, chewing the grass somewhere and enjoying life. And I'd say, come over here. I want you to be a bottle. I want to fill you with new wine. I'd say, I'm going to do this process. Would you like to be filled with the Holy Spirit? And I'm sure you'll all say yes. Like that goat would love to say, yeah, I'd love new wine. So good. Come over here. I'm going to fill you with new wine. You're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the first thing is I'm going to execute you. I'm going to execute, because the only way you can get a new skin is death. You take the goat, you kill it. This is how you get filled with the Holy Spirit. You kill it, then you strip off the skin, then you take the skin to the fire, having scraped off the flesh, then you burn off all the old flesh to sterilize the inside of the skin so it doesn't contaminate the wine, so there's no bits of flesh hanging onto it, and you sterilize it in the fire, and then you sew it up, and then you pour the new wine in, and it expands beautifully and happily, and it's great, it's wonderful. And that's how you get the new covenant. The new covenant is for a new man. The old covenant is for an old man. So when we look at, the reason I'm starting here is because when we look at the new covenants, we're looking at not just the terms of the covenant, but the fact that they were made to fit a certain kind of person. And the point is that Christ has come to give a new covenant which fits a new man. It's a whole new world. And we need to see this very clearly. And the teaching of the new covenant will produce a different way of prayer, a different way of life. It's really a whole new world. And it produces a whole new pattern of life. The new covenant really goes radically down to everything we do and are as Christians. The point in the teaching of the New Testament, as you look into Hebrews and Galatians, is that lots of Christians found it hard, especially the Jewish Christians in Hebrews, the Hebrew letter, they found it hard to make the transition from outward Christianity or outward religion to an inward Christianity. When we say outward and inward, we're not saying that one is all deep and meditative, and but we're talking about the fact that one is in outward rituals and forms, and the other is in spiritual power that flows from the heart. And they found it difficult. And there is a kind of a trend, a current back. And it's only when we see the covenant clearly that we realize this current is causing us to drift back, and we must go against the tide of the natural man, go against the tide of the flesh, and clearly stand on New Testament ground. There's a lot here to learn, because the teaching of the New Testament is just like here summed up by Jesus, is these two covenants don't mix. They don't mix well. In the end, you either go left or right, but you can't mix them. You've got to see the promises, embrace them, and build a new life on new promises. And that's why you get great statements in Hebrews, better covenant, built on better promises. And there it goes, all the promises of God concerning this great new covenant. So that's what we're headed towards. When we review the covenants, we're going to look at eight, but we're not really looking at all the eight. We're looking at really a number of them, which we then compare with this great one, the new covenant. And we'll see as we go on. Let's then begin our review of the covenants. The whole matter begins then. If you look at my notes here, I've given a definition of a covenant. And I've mentioned the fact here in my notes that really God didn't have to give a covenant at all. He could have just spoken and said, that's it, now you do that. In fact, the idea of a covenant is a singularly Bible truth. It isn't found in any other religion, or this is our God has given a covenant. It's covenant truth. And it's because God is a God of, if you like, it's marriage. This is what we're talking about. God who wants to marry the human race. And one of the underlying truths, which you find even in that parable we've just looked at, is the idea of the bridegroom. And we have here the idea of a marriage covenant. Marriage covenants are different to legal agreements. Legal agreements are something you make, like, for example, you probably all sign, everybody in this room has probably signed a legal agreement, but probably like me, you didn't read it. For example, I went to the Funan Center and I was passing by and I saw one of these handheld massage machines. And I thought, well, that's good. And it was half price. I went in and said, well, that's a half price. Yes, only $139. Oh, that's good. And I thought, well, I think I'll buy one. So then I counted my money in my pocket. I hadn't quite got it. So I thought, well, I'll come back tomorrow. He says, no, what have you got? You can have it. So, okay. So I counted out my money and he gave it to me. And then I got back to the office here and I phoned Vicky and said, you know, just guess what I bought? Real bargain. He said, oh, no, she said, I bought you one for Christmas. She'd bought the same thing. So I said, okay, I'll go straight back. And I went straight back to the Funan Center. And I brought back the receipt and I brought back the... And the man said, oh, I'm sorry, didn't you read the small print? No returns. I said, oh, well, I only bought it 10 minutes ago. You sold it to me 10 minutes ago. It's not even gone out, you know, it can't have gone out of its packaging. It's 10 minutes ago. I said, sorry, I can't help you. You should have read the small print. And you see, when you buy something... on the receipt, you'll probably find it there in red for everybody to notice. But on the back, there's often huge, especially if you buy something bigger or if you buy an insurance, if you buy a computer, then buy insurance in case it breaks down and so on. On the back, there's all this small print and you never read it, do you? I never read it. And I don't think I ever will. But the thing is, you see, this is the point is that the covenants that God makes with us, God didn't have to make. When God talks about a covenant, he's not talking about a legal agreement. He's talking about a real agreement of heart. This is about a love declaration and a love response. That this is a, you know, when have you ever been to a marriage ceremony and the couple they make their vows. Sometimes I've been to marriage ceremonies where the couple have written their own vows.